Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, Dingwai World Class Market, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brent Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We need to get better. We need to get better. There's a few things here that, you know, although we finished strong and all that, they know it. They know it as a group. We got to be ready for a Friday. Now we play, what, 34 days after that, and, you know, we start with the Dodgers right away. And it should be fun over the weekend. I think we can be a lot better than this.
How many times has Alex Cora said that this year? You venture to guess, Murray.
Seven.
Seriously, at least 10, 20? The seven's conservative, Jimmy. That's a conservative estimate. Seriously, how many times do you think he said, no, we have to get better?
Yeah, we're probably in the double digits.
I mean, I'm willing to bet like 50. I'm willing to bet like 50 times we have to get better. He has said it over and over and over again. We have to get better. And you know what? The Red Sox really haven't. Not really. They really haven't gotten better. Which brings them to where they are now. So I'll tell you what, we have a couple of news items to get to as it pertains to the Red Sox, but I want to start the discussion tonight by asking a very simple question. It's an obvious thing to do at this stage of the year. You're now at the All-Star break. The first half is over, which is really more than the first half. Red Sox have played 90 games, and I think they're, what, 49 and 41 it is, or whatever. Okay, they're on 88 win pace. So here's my question for you as a Red Sox fan. Give them a grade. What is their grade? For the first half of the season, the team in its entirety, what do you give the Red Sox a grade for their first half performance? And before I tell you what I give them, let me just tell you there are a couple things I want to get to that relate to news in Major League Baseball. Okay, one is something J.D. Martinez said today, which actually relates to this discussion. Okay, J.D. Martinez, during this pregame at the All-Star game, was asked about the Red Sox performance this year compared to last year. And I thought Jimmy Stewart, our producer, stumbled upon this. And our intern Cam also pulled the text of the comment, but we have the actual audio. Here's what J.D. Martinez said.
When you're on a roll and everything's positive and everything's going, it's just, like, I look at last year and I was like, dude, it felt like last year is going to sound crazy, but it was like an easy, like, season because you didn't really have that adversity. You didn't have those ups and downs. Those are the ones that wear you out, you know? Those ups and downs, those are the ones that grind you out mentally. When everything was cruising like it was last year, man, that was like easy. It was fun. Everything was just a roll. You knew somebody that night was going to get a big hit. You knew you were going to win the game somehow. And going to the ballpark with that attitude, it was just take so much pressure off your shoulders. It was just different, you know? They're on a great roll, but at the same time, it's not easy. They've got a target on their back. You know, a lot of teams are aware of what they're doing, and second half should be interesting for them.
Okay, so again, this is J.D. Martinez himself saying, there was no adversity last year.
Yeah, can I shorten that quote for him?
Yeah, go.
Wah, work is hard. It was easy last year. It's hard this year. And that's how they've played this whole season. That whole mentality is infected this team, save for like four or five players.
So, Murray, what would you give him for a grade?
A D. They've underachieved. They've been mostly uninspiring. That quote from J.D. Martinez just backs it up. And it also speaks to something else I find about this team. They're kind of likable. They really are, especially when they're blowing games night after night with a terrible bullpen.
See, now, I think you're being too kind. I do. I think you're being too kind.
Because, just real quick, the reason it's a D and not, you know, anything worse than
F,
that.
It's an F. Well, it's a fail.
I have to factor in how the seasons by certain guys. Like this is now Xander Bogaerts' team. And Xander Bogaerts has been an A-plus player. This is now his team. He's their best offensive player. He's their best all-around player. Rafael Devers has turned into a stud. It's been a really good year for David Price, who's helping keep this team afloat. If he was having a year like Chris Sale, they'd be completely sunk. And Christian Vasquez, the production they're getting out of him has been kind of ridiculous. So I have to factor that in, and that's why I say it's a D.
Okay, so I go F, and we had a caller today say, oh, so, you know, sometimes I feel like you're just trying to troll Red Sox fans. Let me tell you point blank, I am not trying to troll you. To me, my ultimate verdict on this Red Sox team is really based on something pretty simple. Did you really think they were going to miss the playoffs? Who picked them to miss the playoffs? Did anybody pick them to do that? Because that's where they are right now. As of right now, they're out. They're out. And they're out by a couple of teams. They're out of the second wild card spot by two games. There's a team in front of them. So this idea that, you know, and I ran into one of our sales guys before I came in the studio today, Brett Gilmore, who's a big Red Sox fan. Brett loves the Red Sox. He's loved them his whole life. His father's a big baseball fan, the whole nine yards. Not that you need to know the story. I said to him, and I didn't tell him what I was going to give him for a grade. I said, what do you give him? He says, C. C is they've been average. So they've been average relative to what? Because I don't grade them against the field in the American League.
Nor should you, because most of the American League is complete dog crap.
So this is my point. Like, I'm supposed to expect the same thing from the Red Sox that I expect from the Kansas City Royals or the Baltimore Orioles? That's a fair comparison? No, sorry. I grade them based on hitting their ceiling, on the expectation level. I grade them on all of that. And so when you look at the American League right now, the only teams behind the Red Sox, first of all, Cleveland and Oakland are ahead of them in the wild card race. Actually, Tampa and Cleveland are in. Oakland is out, but they're ahead of the Red Sox. Then the Red Sox come. And right behind the Red Sox are the Rangers. So they're in a group right now with Texas, Oakland, maybe the Angels, who are a game under 500. They're in with that group of teams that are out of the playoffs. Smack dab in the middle class of the American League. And you want me to compare them to the Baltimore Orioles? The Baltimore Orioles are an F? Of course the Orioles are an F. But you knew that going in. You knew they were going to suck. They might be even worse than everybody thought. The Orioles are 27-62. Kansas City, 30-61. Detroit, 28-57. Toronto, 34-57. These teams are all 20 games under. They don't even enter the discussion. No. Who you're grading the Red Sox against are the best teams in the league. That's who we're grading them against. The Yankees, the Astros, the Twins, the Rays, the Indians. They're behind them all, including Oakland. They're seventh in the league in winning percentage. Seventh. And you want to give them a C? You want to give them a D? Too high. That grade is way too high. This team has grossly underachieved. Grossly. And it's not the 88-win pace. It's about being in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. How many teams are better than you? And you know what a lot of people are going to tell me now as it pertains to the Red Sox? They're going to say, well, look, you still got a half of the season to go. I get that. I understand that. We all do. The point is, what's their grade right now? You as a fan, having watched this product the whole half, knowing what their ceiling is, knowing what they did the 2 years before last year, they've won three divisions in a row. How would you grade them out? And the fact that they're out of the playoffs means that they are a failure. I don't even think that is remotely close. So I don't know if I gave you the phone number, 617-779-0985. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I would. What would you give the Red Sox for a grade? Murray's point about the individual performances, that's a different discussion. We can go right around the field, and I'll tell you which players have overachieved, which players have underachieved. There haven't been that many that have overachieved. The ones that have are pretty obvious. The shortstop, tremendous. Murray said this accurately, and probably better than anyone else could say it. He's your leader now. He's your leader. Xander Bogaerts is signed. He's performing. He's young. But at the same time, he's been around a while. He's your leader. He's your identity. No issue there. Rafael Devers, tremendous. He's blossomed at third base, both defensively and offensively. You want me to tell you the A's on the team? Bogaerts and Devers are at the top of the list. And if you want to tell me Christian Vasquez has had a good year, I'll give you that one too, although we'll get to the defense a little bit later. And when I say defense, I'm talking about the ability to handle the pitching staff, run the staff. because the pitchers have grossly underachieved. Really, only one starter I think you could say has overperformed or performed at a level commensurate with both his talent and his expectation, and that's David Price. Eddie Rodriguez, all in all, pretty good. He's going to be inconsistent, but he's an end-of-the-rotation guy. Sale, underperformed. Porcello, underperformed. The bullpen, the whole lot of them, really, they've underperformed. Maybe Workman has come in a little over. How about the outfield? Jackie Bradley is what he is. Benintendi, underperformed. Betts, underperformed. J.D. Martinez, underperformed. Moreland was good when he was active, but he's hurt all the time. Pierce, if he were on any other team, you'd cut his ass. I mean, really, you go right up and down. The manager, underperform. The pitching coach, underperform. The hitting coach, underperform. Like, all of them. There's only, if we're going to break it down individually, of course there are a few ways. The whole season hasn't been individually a total failure. Collectively, though, be honest. When the season started, did you really sit there and say, I expect them to be two games out of the wild card? The wild card. The division, maybe. And if you want to tell me they're on pace for 88 wins, I would tell you last year you had three teams over 100 and another in the high 90s. 88 wins isn't getting into the playoffs in this league anymore. Not now, anyway. Mike's in Malden. Mike, what do you got? Mike, you got to turn down the radio, Mike. You got to turn down the radio. Just sit tight. I'll come right back to you. Pete's in Westminster. Pico.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I just wanted to say, I wanted to ask what your grade versus the team would be from last season at this point. Where were they at the All-Star break? How many wins did they have? What was the team year? All that stuff. So, and then I would give them a C-. If they were in the under the top 10 in the league, then I would go ahead and give them an F. But they're still, you said they were ranked 7 in the league right now. So I don't really think, once they break the top 10, then you're giving them an S.
Okay, but Pete, do you understand who the bottom 4 or 5 teams in the league are?
Well, yeah, you just went over it.
Okay, so why do you give them credit then for finishing ahead of the Orioles?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, I guess.
Okay, so this is my point, is that you want to sit there and say, well, they're on pace for 88 wins. The 88 wins doesn't mean anything. Don't go by the win total. The scale got totally changed last year. The scale's not what it used to be. So we sit there and say 88 wins in the past, that's actually a half-decent season. Not anymore, it's not. Not when you have a $240 million payroll. You won the World Series in 108 last year. 88's not good enough. An 88-win pace right now has you out of the playoffs. Out. If you told me they were the second wildcard team, you know what I'd be inclined to give them? C-. Below average. They should have the first wildcard easily locked up, and they should be threatening for the division. They have done neither. Oh, my gosh. You know, again, we're going to look at the 88 and say, oh, they're doing all right. They're not bad. No, no, it's relative to what they could be. It's relative to their ceiling. You don't expect the same out of every person that is in your family or that you work with, because everybody's got a different ceiling. So you have different ceilings and expectations based on what someone's talent and ability is. You absolutely have different expectations for different people. Those who have more are expected to give more. Pretty basic. The Red Sox have a ton. They have a ton. 88 wins out of the playoffs? That gets them average? Oh, no, no, no. They've been below average. The first season for them has been a disaster. For the White Sox, it would be pretty good. For the Red Sox, disaster. And they now, can they turn it around? Of course. Absolutely. Mike and Malden still on hold. We'll get back to you. I also want to get to some other things here as we get to later in the show as we go along, because there is a bunch to talk about with the Red Sox at the moment, one of which concerns a report today by Kenny Rosenthal concerning what the Red Sox are eyeing on the trade market. We'll tell you what that is when we come back.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's cool. You know, I mean, that's winning 15 games a year for 10 seasons. Back in my baseball car speaks for itself, and I'm definitely proud of it.
That's David Price. Won his 150th game yesterday. It doesn't sound like much, but I saw this stat, and I'm going to get it wrong now just off the top of my head. There were only like a handful of pitchers in Major League history who have both a winning percentage over 650, 150 wins, and like a career ERA under 3.3 or something. One of them is David Price. And so, like, when you really look at it, boy, no controversy really surrounding Price this year at all, Mari. None. I mean, again, there's been very little of the nonsense with Price. He's gone out, he's pitched, generally done his job. The team's 9-7 when he starts, but it's not his fault.
Was this the Pete Abraham stat you're referencing? Is this what it was with the ERA and 651?
Yeah, you have it right there?
Yeah. So since 1920, only Sandy Koufax, Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Whitey Ford, Lefty Grove, Ron Guidry, Clayton Kershaw, and Max Scherzer have 150 or more wins, at least a 650 winning percentage, and an ERA under 330.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that list, that's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list. What would you give Price for a grade, Murray?
Oh, this year? Like a B+. I think he's been good.
Yeah, he has been good. Yeah, to me, he's
their most reliable starter.
He's right in that range. The only thing you would say is he's got to give you more innings, right? Some of those starts have been short. He had an injury thing there in the middle, but there's been he hasn't said anything stupid. He hasn't had tingling in his fingers, no Fortnite, nothing, no issue with Price whatsoever. It's just, it's largely the rest of that rotation, which brings us to the Kenny Rosenthal report. I want to get to that next, but first, Mike and Malden's been on hold. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I give this team a big fat F. Underachieved all season long. The American League is completely awful. Now, I want to know what you guys thought. Do you guys blame Cora and Dombrowski more than the team underachieving, or do you think it's the players? And I'll hang up and listen.
So, Mike, I say all of the above. I mean, it's hard to separate the two, but you look at the players, they're underachieving across the board. What, you can't motivate yourself? Xander Bogaerts won last year, too. In fact, it was his second ring. So Bogaerts wins and gets a contract and then goes out and is having the best year of his career. So how does that happen with him? But Mookie Betts goes out, gets $20 million through arbitration. Right? They settled, but he was arbitration eligible. He's resisted a long-term contract. It goes out and gets worse. And really, to him, Andrew Benintendi, can someone explain him to me? Are you guys coming around on Benintendi yet? I've told you all along, Benintendi's overrated.
Oh, boy, I got egg on my face for that guy this year. I thought he was going to hit like 30 home runs.
Okay, like, really? The fans out there that love Benintendi, are you coming around? He cannot hit for power consistently. He's not a bum. He's an okay player.
Yeah, he's just fine.
Okay, but he's an average ball player. That's what he is. Jackie Bradley, average ball player. Botched another play defensively over the weekend, by the way. So all of you who defended them to no end last year, and they did, they had a great year collectively last year. A lot of these guys have reverted. In fact, they've gone backwards. They've really gone beyond it. David's a Natick. David, what do you got?
So I agree with the F, but I also went with a B- just because I do think Cora and Dombrowski deserve a little bit more criticism. I think to go into the season thinking that they can go with that bullpen and pretty much duplicate what they did last year is completely idiotic, and I do blame them a little bit more than the players, actually. But regardless, I would give them pretty much a D- and an F, and I just think that this team is way too good, way too talented to only be 8 games above 500.
Okay, so David, you said D- as in D as in dog? Oh, he hung up. Okay, he hung up. I think that's what
he said.
Yeah,
he said D, yeah.
D, not B, right?
Correct.
Okay, because the call screen said B-.
Oh.
And so, but I think he said D. My guess is that...
Well, we're putting words in his mouth. We're saying D-.
That's
more accurate.
So again, that's not missing much. I include Dombrowski and Cora in the grade. To me, it's the whole baseball operation. F. It's a failure to miss the playoffs. You win 108, go 11-3 in the playoffs, and win 119 and win the World Series. Then you show up the next year, and some people, myself included, pick the Yankees to win the division, which is fine. No one expected 108 wins again. But I picked the Red Sox as a wild card team. When people asked me in the preseason, what do you think? And I said, I like the Yankees in the division, but they'll be a wild card. I mean, it's almost impossible for them to miss the wild card. And yet here they are on July 8th at the All-Star break, and they're out. They're out. So again, I'm giving a first half grade here. You miss the playoffs in the first half, you're out. That's it. Fail. Red Sox aren't getting a passing grade for being on an 88-win pace and missing the playoffs. If they miss the playoffs and they finish with 87, 88 wins, you're going to give them a C-minus for an average year, or you give them an F for a fail? There's no excuse for this team not being in the playoffs. As for their needs coming up at the trade deadline, Murray, do you have the Rosenthal tweet right there?
You know what? Let me pull it up.
Okay, no worries. Take your time, because in the interim, I'll ask the listeners if you could add a starter or a reliever on this staff, which one would you pick? A year ago, we had the same discussion. Where would you pick? Starter or reliever, pick one. I said bullpen last year. Dombrowski went out and got Nathan Eovaldi, and they picked up Ian Kinsler, which I thought was a waste. And as it turned out, Dombrowski was right. This year, I'm saying bullpen again. What did Kenny Rosenthal report, Murray?
So right around noon, he tweeted, Red Sox pushing to add a starting pitcher. Sources tell The Athletic would prefer to act sooner rather than later, casting a wide net.
Okay. So casting a wide net means that they'll take any hack.
Right. Scraping the bottom of the barrel is what that is.
So there. And the report that came out later in the day is consistent with the kind of pitcher I thought that they were going to get. Was it Joel Sherman, Murray, of the New York Post? Who reported that the Red Sox have been in discussions with the Mets about Zach Wheeler, a right-handed pitcher with the Mets. Wheeler is eligible for free agency at the end of the year. Wheeler is earning about $6 million. It's actually a little less than that, might even be $5.5 million. So the point being that with a third of the year to go, Zach Wheeler would only cost the Red Sox about, call it, $1.8, $1.9 million. Okay, somewhere in that area. He would cost the Red Sox $1.8, $1.9 million. Round it up to two if you want. That's the easier way to do it. I don't know why I get bogged down on the details sometimes, but I do. Couple of million bucks. They don't have a ton of room to add luxury tax, so John Henry would be appeased. Yep, we're adding a little bit more money. And you know who Zach Wheeler is in a lot of ways? He's Nathan Eovaldi. I texted my buddy John Harper, who used to cover the Yankees for the, covered baseball for the Daily News. And ask him about ask him about Wheeler, whose average velocity, by the way, is 96, 97 miles an hour. And Harper wrote back, great stuff. Command comes and goes. When he's on, he dominates. But too many mistake pitches. And you know what that sounds like? Nathan Eovaldi. Almost to a T. Hard thrower who can dominate when he's on, and other times looks really ordinary and makes too many mistakes. Particularly in the middle of the plate, which is Eovaldi to a T. In fact, if you look at the numbers, strikeouts per nine, things like that, career one-loss record, ERA, and with Wheeler, it's a little bit lower, the ERA, but he's been in the National League his whole career. It's almost Eovaldi to a T. So the Red Sox are saying, we're going to go out and find the next Nathan Eovaldi. We're going to find the guy with the great arm whose stuff will play in October, and we'll stick him in our rotation now, and he can help us out of the bullpen. I don't mind that approach either. I'm not telling you Wheeler's a mistake. I'm just telling you that last year, clearly, they developed some sort of blueprint, at least in their minds, and now they're adhering to it. One of the questions, interestingly, is who will catch Zach Wheeler if he ends up here? Because the Red Sox behind the plate, boy, it's hard to figure out what they want in their catchers right now, or what they want in their catchers ever. We'll explain when we come back after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
We have the Sox covered.
The Sox covered.
This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a high deep drive. Left field, forget about this one. Oh, he crushed it way back there for a three-run homer. You just felt that was coming.
And he made him pay.
Number 17 for the X-Man. No doubt about that one. And the Red Sox do get that wiggle room now, leading it 9-5.
That goes back to Friday night. Xander Bogaerts' home run against the Detroit Tigers. He's been one of the real bright spots here at the halfway point. I mean, it's not really the halfway point. The All-Star break. Red Sox have played 90 games. Rafael Devers, another one, has been an absolutely terrific performer for the Red Sox in the first half. And Christian Vasquez, another one, which brings us to the Rodenizer Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electrical. Christian Vasquez. Did I say Christian or did I say Ramon?
I think you said Christian.
Okay. Sorry.
You hearing things?
Yeah, I am. You know why the Red Sox used to have an infielder named Ramon Vasquez? Like, this goes way back, Murray.
Okay.
But for some reason, I always call Christian Ramon. Maybe not when I'm on the air. But anyway, Christian Vasquez last week, 385, three doubles, three homers, seven ribbies, OPS of over 1,200. He is your Rodenizer Heat Zone Performer of the Week. Before I get to the catching situation, let me get to your calls here. A couple of you have been on hold. Phil is in a car, wants to sell at the deadline. Go ahead, Phil. Tell me why.
Hey, Maz and Murray. Yeah, so, I mean, you asked who should we add at the deadline. I think this is an awesome opportunity for them to actually be sellers here at the deadline. I mean, what's the chances that they find lightning in a bottle like they did last year? I mean, yeah, you talked about it a couple of weeks ago that, yeah, you get into the playoffs, you get into the play-in game. They got an opportunity. Who knows what could happen in the playoffs? But here's a chance where Dombrowski could get rid of Mookie, could get rid of JD, and then totally replenish your, you know, farm system at this point. I just don't see them really making a run at it. So it's not a question of who they're adding. It's a question of who they're selling to me, honestly, guys.
Okay, so look, Phil, I wouldn't say lightning in a bottle with this team. Lightning in a bottle to me was 2013. When you had a decent roster, I mean, that was what I thought was an 85-win team, okay? They ended up winning the 90s. They won the division. They caught a break in the playoffs when the Tigers botched it and Ortiz hit the Grand Slam, and then they won the whole thing. So that was lightning in a bottle. This team only needs to play to its potential. Like, you know, they have the capability to get hot. The problem is the division's out of play now, I think, because they're just so far behind. But there's a lot of talent on this team. So, now, I don't equate it to 2013. I would never call it lightning in a bottle. But if you were to ask me, would I sell if someone knocked me over for either Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez, my answer is yes. Honestly, I'd be inclined to trade Mookie more. But we'll get to that later in the week. It's a slow week for baseball. It's a long All-Star break. I'm trying to pace myself. Okay, but I want to get to Mookie. Because you have a real dilemma there, and people here don't want to acknowledge it, but they have a major dilemma with Mookie Betts. Chris is in Providence. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Maz, I'm just really disgusted by how much talent is in the infield just being wasted because they couldn't just spend on the pitchers. And I was wondering, from the math side of it, is it beneficial for them just to spend for the pitching because they can make money off, say, playoffs and merchandising if it was actually successful?
So I don't get the last part. Like, you know, they want to make the playoffs because it's, you know, always more beneficial to win on multiple levels. So I'm not sure what you were getting at there. With regard to, you know, the infield, is they're not taking advantage of it. I would just say they're not taking advantage of the talent overall. Like, I never look at it and say, wow, they have a really strong infield. What a terrible, you know, what a terrible thing to blow. Or they have a great outfield and, you know, I don't look at it that way. I look at it purely in terms of the whole package. Offense, defense, pitching, and the pitching I will split up into bullpen and starters because they're two very clear and distinct areas. So I don't look at it in the terms you do. They have a lot of talent. They need bullpen help. But to have all that talent, all that money invested, and miss the playoffs? Oh, that's inexcusable. I'm sorry. Ralph's in Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, Tony. You know, look,
I'm not saying that I'm going to give up on the season, but, you know, they mortgaged their future to win a championship last year, and it worked, and I was all for it. But, you know, if they don't get off to a good start here, I just don't think, you know, the Yankees are going to make another move. I don't think they're in the same class as Houston or the Yankees. So, I mean, I'm not as strong as the previous caller was selling up, but I would look to Martinez and Porcello, two guys right off the bat. If they don't start off that well, you know, and Tony, something tells me that the Yankees making that Encarnacion move was more than just picking him up, stopping anybody from, like, making some kind of
okay,
move.
Okay, so Ralph, let's not worry about the Yankees. Let's stick to the Red Sox. Okay, I doubt that they're going to sell at the deadline, but you made a good point about the schedule. You start with the Dodgers, then you get Toronto and Baltimore, so you can fatten up on them again, like always. And then after that, I think it's 14 in a row against Tampa and the Yankees. 14 in a row. And the Red Sox will be in the middle of a stretch in which they play 34 games in 34 days. And that stretch of games against Tampa and New York goes right through the trade deadline. It ends on August 4th. So if it goes really bad in there, could the Red Sox sell? Sure, absolutely. I don't think it'd be anything major, but could Porcello go? I don't think there's any question.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.